Okay, everyone. It's 15:30. I suggest we start. Sorry about the confusion about the starting time of this meeting. I learned too late that it was rescheduled a long time ago to start at 15:00. I communicated yesterday to all the members of the SOP the previous time, 15:30, so we just waited until 15:30 to make sure that all those people that are going to come in now could be here from the start of the meeting. We have 2 points on the agenda. The first point being conducted by Xavier, a high-level reaction on the comments that we filed on the FY14 Ops Plan and Budget. And the second on the agenda, and I don't know at what time she's coming, but I hope Bart does. We will have Denise Michel here explaining to us the highlights of the strategic plan framework and the planning and of the strategic process and how we as SOP can best contribute to that process. But I would like to start with Xavier. Xavier, thank you for being so patient, waiting here. You have the floor, please.
Thank you, Rolf. Byron kicked me out earlier, so I had to make up the time. Thank you for the opportunity. What I was going to suggest to do is first provide a quick feedback on the process for the public comments, and then use the executive summary of the comments that were provided by the CCNSO, which listed 4 bullet points, and I suggest then to address each of those 4 at a high level and leave it at that, and then you will ask any question or make any comments that you would like. So on the process, we have taken a first pass at responding at the public comments that had been provided by the 20th of June, which was the end of the public comment period. And I think the CCNSO comments have come maybe a day or two after that. We are including the CCNSO comments in the second pass of public comment responses that we will provide probably after the end of this, the next week that's coming, so after the end of Durban, basically, to be able to provide answers or complement of answers on comments. There's a number of organizations with who I've had some discussions already and who would like to have more information than the one that we have provided so far to the public comments. So we will include the CCNSO public comments provided in that second round of answers. The first of the 4 comments in the executive summary was about the, and I'll just read it so that, because I didn't try to prepare a presentation, I can plug in if we would like, but the comment is about the draft plan being a significant improvement from previous draft operations and plans and budgets. As before, the SOP working group urges ICANN to include quantitative and or qualitative measurable milestones, goals, and deliverables for the various activities and projects in the plan. So thank you for the feedback. I will ask to understand better down the road. We don't necessarily have to do that now, but what is considered a significant improvement in the new format of the information, just so that I'm clear as to what you see better format, better information. I have similar discussions with other groups, and I know that there's a certain amount of, I think, frustration in the new format, probably more because it was new than because of the way it's structured currently. I think the fact that there was more information and in a different format represented a challenge to a number of organizations to be able to grasp the information and be able to comment effectively on it. So that I know that's a comment that I've gotten, so I'm welcoming a better understanding of what value you see in the current format, what challenges potentially you guys have had as well. But your positive comment was leading me to want to make sure I understand it correctly. Regarding quantitative and qualitative and measurable milestones, goals and deliverables for the various activities and projects, we had indicated when communicating on the format that we were going to use, which was the representation of the at-task system that we are now using, this system requires each project to be associated with a timeline, a set of metrics, deliverables, descriptions, owners, and so on. So I think that this system is helping us, taking a step towards that objective, request from the SOP working group. Obviously, it's not new. You guys have been making these comments for a long time. And I think we're getting much closer today with the system that we have in place to being able to formalize and produce on a recurring basis this information. As we had also indicated, we are at the very beginning of this process. This is the first time, the first year that this tool has been implemented, has been documented. Honestly, the organization is learning to use this tool, and I think the information is imperfect at best today, but is a good basis to continue improving upon. There's an increasing amount of training of the staff that is ongoing since the past 2 weeks and will continue to be happening on project management capabilities. I think about every single member of the staff will go through it and definitely will benefit from it. And I think it will help us documenting better in that task the projects, these deliverables, the descriptions, the timelines, and so on. So I think we're making progress towards it. There's a lot of work still to go, but I think it will be from now on an information that will be provided, hopefully with better consistency and quality. The second comment was about, I'll just read it to make it more simple. The plan shows a strong increase in expenses for the ICANN operations. Understandably, the professionalization of ICANN will cost money, but in a situation of global economic recession and difficult domain name trading conditions, such an increase should be clearly justified. I see two different aspects to this, the justification of the increase. Obviously, you have seen in the budget presentation the page 22 that was aiming at providing a high-level understanding of what the variances are, which is not a justification of what the variances are. And I want to recognize that. I'm not trying to say that the page 22 should justify anything, but trying at least provide an understanding. Because of the format changes that we have introduced this year, it is also understandably making more difficult to actually compare year on year the information, whether it's for revenues or for expenses. And that's a shortcoming of the first year implementation that we have done. Obviously, one way to mitigate that would have been to reformat the previous year information in the same format so that we have then comparable set of data. We were not able to retroactively implement that task, and nor did we try. Yes, we are missing that information. We have tried to partially mitigate that issue with a variance analysis that you have seen in those slides. By category of costs, providing comments in sometimes amounts on the main variances by categories of costs to try to help mitigate the lack of consistency of the data year on year. That's about the budget. In my views, the addressing the fundamental rationale behind this comment would be best and better addressed with what we have already discussed several times, which is a much more comprehensive strategic planning process. Because in my views, the budget is the how much. A task, I think, is helping us putting a what in front of the how much. So what are we doing, which I think is helpful. What we are missing, in which we are now starting to address, is the why, so that then we can have the why, the what, and how much. And I think the strategic planning process, which requires to not only formulate what I was calling in the previous session of the finance working group, a little bit of a wish list of things. Our previous strategic planning was one page of a lot of things to do without plans, without timing, without objectives, without deliverables. So I think we're gearing ourselves up to complete a strategic planning process that's much more comprehensive and that, in my views, will, upon completion, help make a much better link between what are the missions of the organization, how we intend those missions to be accomplished, and what is, therefore, the action plan put in place to accomplish those objectives, and how much that action plan actually costs. So I think we have a missing link today, and it's not new, and again, you guys have been making that comment in the past as well, but I think that we are now gearing ourselves up to be able to have a more documented and more comprehensive strategic planning process that will provide the ability to make the link between the objectives and the actual budget. And I think that will help justify increases or variances or lack of variances for all that matter. The third comment, I'm assuming I'll be interrupted with any questions.
Yes, maybe. Yeah. So here, I understand what you say, but it's not only the why question and linked to the strategy, which would explain the amount, but it's, I think within our group, and I think even within the community, there's also the question, even if we understand the why and when we understand the how, if it actually has to cost so much money, if you need so many people to do this.
I didn't get the question.
It was not a question, it was a remark, because you seem to say, I got from your feedback that you find that as long as we haven't properly answered the why question, it will always seem that the expenses are too high. And my point is that even if you have made very clear to us why certain things have to be done, I think this group and more people in the community still wonder why it has to cost so much money. I mean, it's the question in any organization where you want to do a certain task, how much will it cost? How many people do I need to fulfill that task? And I, for one, I'm under the impression that ICANN has a tendency to quickly increase the number of staff if the number of work increases. But you can also prioritize or maybe put a bit more pressure on people or improve efficiency or effectiveness. And that's also one of the points we make that is fairly related to this. An increase in staff can be a good, although unwilling, cover-up for inefficiency and ineffectiveness. We need more people because we're not getting things done. So there's obviously too much work for the number of people we have. That's a conclusion which is always very easy to draw, because then you don't have to address the people and say that they have to work harder or be more efficient or prioritize better.
That's a conclusion that also results from the presumption that the increase is not due to increase of volume of work, but about if it is coming from inefficiencies. So I'm not necessarily making the presumption.
I'm not presuming that, but it could be a combination of the two.
Absolutely. So as it relates to the notion of efficiency and productivity and performance, which is the fourth item in the comments, which I was going to get to.
Sorry, Safiya, before you get there, Christina, you had something?
Yes, I just wanted to remind you to say your names before you speak for the transcript.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
Sorry. Very good, that's for the record. So as it relates to that fourth point about individual productivity and performance, or lack thereof, I think that what I see being performed more and more in the organization is to ensure or to help ensuring productivity and performance. Productivity to me has a little bit of a manufacturing oriented term. We don't have a lot of volume driven activities in the organization. We're not an organization that produces volumes of output, of homogeneous output. So there's not a lot of productivity in measurable metrics like you can have in manufacturing type of organizations, which doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a notion of productivity. So I think that a number of activities are being carried out in the organization to help improving individual performance and collective performance, of course. So I'm not going to always use that same subject, but ATTASK is a tool that helps improving performance and efficiencies because it's a tool that helps working better together in a more coordinated fashion and therefore wasting less time. We have engaged over the past few months into a business excellence program, which for now consists essentially in two different parts. I mentioned one before, which is the training on project management. I think we've talked about it. When you set goals, you define the timeline, you define the metrics and the outcome, and who are the parties, and you plan that ahead and monitor it, which are just a few words, project management practices. I think it helps efficiency and it helps planning as well as allow better prioritization. So the improved capabilities of the organization to project manage, I believe, will help to improve general productivity and performance. The second part of the Business Excellence Program is what may appear to be unrelated, but it's process documentation. And process documentation across a number of functions. So the first functions that have started are finance, HR, INA, and IT. INA over the past 2 to 3 years, IT last year, finance and HR this year. Process documentation, for those of you who know, it's very similar to what the Sarbanes-Oxley standards are. It may seem unrelated to productivity and performance, but when you document processes, you have to come quickly to the conclusion, is the process adequate or not? Are there improvements to the process that are required and how to implement those improvements? And I think this is a process that will enable the organization to also identify those inefficiencies in the process. We have engaged in finance with that aspect. We've documented, we have listed 10 processes to document. We've documented 4 as is. Now we're getting to the improvements in identification for those processes, and we'll make process changes. So that's the second aspect of the business excellence. There's also a lot more substantial thinking being put around our systems infrastructure. What systems do we use? Rationalizing the systems that we use. We had a little bit of maybe exaggerating a little bit, but I think the image will be telling, the patchwork approach or lack of approach in the past by identifying one need and addressing that specific need with a specific application, in a little bit in isolation. So now we're documenting the application list that the organization uses and try to migrate those applications toward a platform, which happens to be Salesforce.com for now. And that is going to help us rationalize the systems that we use and be more efficient in honestly reducing basically the costs of maintenance of all those applications, because we're going to have less applications, much more integrated. So we are also expecting it's going to help the efficiency and performance of the organization. We are also strengthening the individual performance measurement of the individuals on the trimester basis. The objectives are being set and being evaluated. That's been a process that's been present for a certain amount of time, but it's now been more tightly managed. The objectives of each individual will actually be linked to their projects in that task. So if you have a project that you're participating to in that task where there's a number of deliverables, that will actually be tied to your individual evaluation and to your performance, and your bonus is actually calculated on that. So that will help strengthening the immediate sanction of performance or lack of performance on the daily job of the organization. So I think that's a number of actions, sometimes unrelated to each other, but that I think help mitigating and enhancing mitigating lack of productivity or performance and enhancing productivity and performance. I'm sure I'm not listing all the actions that are being carried out, and I will not necessarily try to have a completely exhaustive presentation on the subject, but I think there's more and more of those activities that we think are going to help. That doesn't take away the notion that I think we need to be looking from a strategic standpoint at the permanent challenge of why we spend money, why we spend it the way we spend it, and how can we do it cheaper and better. Another thing that we are doing is creating what may appear additional cost, but I think I'm sure it will pay for itself, an actual professional sourcing function, which is critically missing in the organization today. We don't have a sourcing function. So we have procurement guidelines and so on, but we don't have a professional sourcing expertise in-house. And anywhere that type of function is implemented with obviously a competent resource, it's a 20% saving on external costs. So we think this is something absolutely critical and that is going to help as well, reducing very immediately costs on what is being done. So it doesn't necessarily challenge what is being done, it challenges the costs of how things are being done. I'll leave it at that and let you react on what I said if required.
Any reactions from the room, from the phone? We had Mathieu, are you still there? This is Roloff speaking, by the way.
Yes, I am still there.
Okay. This was all perfectly clear to you?
It is clear and interesting.
Okay.
Peter is on the line as well.
Oh. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
I was just going to say you shouldn't lie to me, Christian. Okay, carry on.
Thank you. And this is Xavier for the record. The third item that was listed in the we've just addressed the fourth. The third item that was listed in the executive summary relates to, and I'll read it quickly, in many cases, the breakdown found at the at-task system does not provide sufficient information to assess the need for and efficiency and effectiveness of significant expenses on specific programs. Based on the information provided, it is often unclear whether programs mainly include recurring activities or contain projects with a duration beyond FY 2014. This comment was also made by a number of other organizations, I think it's completely true. The level of granularity that we have provided with this budget process this year is the program level in the hierarchy of that task. It's the third level, and there's a fourth and a fifth. The fourth is the project level. The original intent was to provide the project level in detail, which I think will answer a lot of questions, not necessarily all of them, but will answer nonetheless a lot of questions as to what are the projects that make up a program. So, for example, there's a program that's called Outreach. There's, I think, an amount of between 5.5 and 6 million in front of it, and no further detail than that. So, of course, it's not very telling as to what the actions are within that line item, nor within that amount. So I agree with the comment. The intent of the organization was originally and is still to provide the project level of detail, which is therefore the next level down versus what has been provided for FY14. The reason why we provided the program level instead of the project level for FY14 is that because of how recent the implementation of ATAS was, and it's been implemented starting from the top down, the level of completion of the project level was not sufficient at the time we produced the information to be able to be shared. And as I said, the intent is to be able to share the project level next year so that there's more substance and understandable substance provided along with the budget information. Now, let's be careful. The project level, it's not 100 programs anymore. It's 500 projects. So it's a, it's a lot of information. And it has to be possible for the organization also to, when I say the organization, the community at large, to be able to process that information. So providing more information needs to come with a methodology, a sequence of events, and the time to be able to do that, which we need to be able to, as originally intended for FY14, provide earlier, maybe by smaller bites throughout the process, so that it can be reviewed and assimilated. So that's going to be a challenge, but I think it's the right direction. And hopefully we'll address a lot of the need for information that has been expressed through this comment and others similar to it.
Any questions? Xavier, if I cannot give us the insight on the project level yet, do you have that insight as CFO?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because I think it's why we, those, the 4 points of our executive summary are interconnected. And I think if you add them up, especially for us as a group, but I think for other parts of the community as well, it's a rather alarming combination. If you see a more than 20% increase in expenses, and you don't actually have the insight in if operations are executed effectively and efficiently, and what those operations and projects really are, and are they here for just a year or are they multi-year projects, those things together make it very difficult to judge for us, or to even not even judge, but to get an impression if the money is well spent or not. And I could imagine that as a CFO, I think any CFO would be very alarmed by over 20% increase of expenses, even though we realize that ICANN's revenues have, let me say, significantly increased but through the G2D program. We know that that program is on a cost recovery basis, so it is logic that costs also increase, but we see a lot of increase of costs that are not directly related to the new GTLD program.
So we look at revenues and costs for the new GTLD program and for the operations of ICANN that are not the new GTLD program separately. So we don't assume that the revenue of the program help finance operational activities that are not evaluation costs. If, I'm not sure this is clear to everyone, but there's a very strong Chinese wall between the program and the operations. So the program, to your point, is on a cost recovery basis. It has its own financial statement. It has its own bank account. It's completely separate. The ICANN operations are looked at on a standalone basis with an amount of revenue and amount of costs. Yes, the increase year-on-year is significant. It's not that different from the year-on-year increase of from the previous few years, which can be either viewed as something consistent or something alarming at the same time, to your point.
Something consistently alarming.
Yeah, consistently alarming. There's a trend perspective that I'd like to bring is we've never had more documented information about what we do, notably with now the at task, about the timeline, the resources, the content of projects and activities. And as a result, I'm more comfortable than I was before as to what the content of the budget is. I think that the budget process this year has been relatively long and painful internally, more than you have seen, for a number of reasons, notably along the lines of an increasing amount of activities driven by either the new GTLD program, fine, which we know, but also by launching some a number of strategies that had been put on hold over the past years, notably internationalization. And I'm not trying to get into the debate as to whether we should have hubs or not right now, but there's a number of programs that have determined needs of actions or resources, and I feel reasonably comfortable that we have better information than we ever had to document and support this. Now, does it make it simple to deliver on all those projects and activities? No, it is still a challenge, and this is part of why the organization is strengthening its management layer, to be clear, as well as its practices to monitor and carry out activities.
Hello?
Yes, Peter.
Yep, this is Mathieu speaking.
Oh,
sorry, Mathieu. Yes, Mathieu.
No, no problem. Xavier, I think the concern that we have is that the increase in costs within ICANN is difficult to relate in an objective manner to the increase that we are not challenging in activity. What I mean is we have a lot of financial documentation now, and I think that's a significant improvement, as you said. But we are not in a position in any way to see where this is going to stop. Is ICANN budget going to increase 20-25% a year for 10 years? Why? When are we going to basically reach a new threshold? And that is what we are trying to say when we say that we would need some activity type of metrics that we could relate, even if ICANN obviously is not a manufacturing organization. As you said, it delivers products or services or whatever, and our concern is that right now we don't have any control over this, and we are not. We feel that you are not, as an organization, ICANN, or we are not, as community members, in any position to see where this is heading and where this is going to stop. And that's when you are a regulator, I'm sorry to say ICANN has a role of regulation. It's basic economics that you tend to increase your costs forever. So how can we hold you accountable for that and stop this at the right time? Not too early, but not too late either.
This is Xavier for the record. I think it's completely reasonable questions, concerns, and comments. My personal answer to the subject, which I will qualify, should not be the only one that you obtain, by the way, relating to previous comments from Leonid as well that we should talk about, is that I'm a little bit narrow-minded on the notion of strategic planning process, and maybe a little bit too focused on it. But I generally understand and agree with the concern that you express, and I think that as an organization, we need to develop a strategic planning process that gives an understanding of that, at the minimum. You may then not agree necessarily with the assumptions that are driving that strategy. You may not necessarily agree that a physical presence across the world is necessary or not, but at least you understand how the strategy is being formulated, what it implies, and how the costs are driven or revenues are driven. So I don't want to have a single answer to all questions, but my sense is that we would have a different conversation if we would have a much more developed strategic plan, which I agree is what we need to do, and I'm, take my word for what it is, I'm I think we're closer than we've ever been to be able to develop. Now we're at the beginning of it, not at the end of it. We don't have it yet. But we have been starting, and hopefully Denise will be able to speak a bit more about the strategic planning process that's in progress, with the intent of it to be to have an actual multi-year plan with objectives quantified financially and with non-financial metrics as well, to be able to give substance and give an understanding, a long-term understanding, and an answer to the concerns that you were raising, Matthew.
I fully concur with you that it is a strategic issue more than an implementation budget issue.
Okay, thank you, Maciej. Oscar.
Thank you. This is not a question, but a concern. We provided some comments about the lack of metrics on the operational expenses. And you were telling us that there were some different, a deeper level of information on this regard. But I don't think that you failed to provide us the goals for the operational expenses. My concern is that you actually don't have those goals, because those are very important to actually see what are you trying to do with all those, I don't know how many millions you're expending on this. So that's my real concern, that a 100 million company has been unable to work for the past, I don't know, 5 years, I guess, without no goals, no metrics on the operational part. And you haven't done anything with that? What are you controlling?
So there is a question. No,
I don't expect an answer because I don't know what are you controlling. My concern is, are you controlling actually the expenses? Under what basis?
Let me calm down. This is Xavier. When you say controlling, can you qualify what you mean by controlling or expand on the controlling word, because it may have different meanings?
Well, first, my main concern is with the organization, not with your responsibilities. So the lack of metrics, that's what I would like to have your answer. The controlling part is that in some of our organizations in Mexico, we have the controller, which is looking for the good application of money, of expenses, with some specific goals. When you have just good wishes in the plan, there's no way somebody can limit the way people is spending the money.
So, okay, thank you. I think I understand a little bit better. So for the controlling part of it has been, it's not about what I've done, it's about always, has been mainly managed through the budget process. So when you say controlling whether the expenses are consistent with what should be done or not done, that's basically the budget that drives it. Do you have, and I'll come back to the upstream part of what I'm going to say, do you have a budget or not for this intended expense, yes or no? It's something that we control. We have a procurement system. We have an approval process for any expense above $2,500. And there's a number of processes to enable the control of the consistency between an intended expense and the budget. So that's once you have a budget. Of course, now we're going back to the discussion of when you build a budget, you need to have an adequate consistency and legibility between the strategic objectives of the organization and the fact that the budget helps achieving those objectives. So then that speaks to the, generally speaking, to the upstream part of it. I don't know that we have time to elaborate further on controlling, but I think the main tool historically in the organization to control the output of the organization has been the budget.
Thank you. I got the part of the controlling. But what about the main concern? What about the lack of metrics?
Oscar, we have to keep it a bit shorter because Denise has just arrived. So, but what is your specific question? The lack of metrics.
So there was no metrics in the past. So I think what we're trying to say that we're implementing systems that put in place metrics for projects and activities, objectives, timelines, so that we remediate that. So, sorry, I lost the mic for some time.
Okay.
Any other questions? Or any other comments from Xavier? Okay, then we go to the second item on the agenda, the strategic plan. Thank you, Denise, for joining us. For those on the phone, Denise Michel has just joined us, and she will talk us through the strategic framework and the planning process. And I think we also specifically asked you to indicate how you think this group can best contribute to ICANN's strategic planning process. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to this group. Well, you've already been a big influence on how ICANN approaches strategic planning. Am I talking loud enough? It's usually not a problem for me. So I've sent Gabby and Bart a slide that illustrates the timeline that we're using, but to give you a quick overview of the process, if that's a good place to start.
Yes, I think it is. Go ahead.
Okay. So in April, at the Beijing meeting, Fadi unveiled a video and sort of the start of a community conversation about considering the challenges and the evolving sort of ecosystem that ICANN is facing over the next 5 years. What are some of the key forces and issues that should be considered as we start thinking about creating a new vision and 5-year strategic plan for ICANN? That online conversation, as well as brainstorming sessions with various community groups, yielded a very rich and diverse set of challenges and issues to be considered. That was considered by the board and CEO and helped create what we're calling a framework for conversation. So we have 8 topic areas that were posted last month in a strategic planning web portal. We want to make the strategic planning process as accessible as possible to the largest number of community members. So we opened up a web portal. We posted 8 topics, sort of 8 topic areas in particular that we are seeking community input to help us build out a proposed strategic plan. Those are on ICANN's website, and people can comment online. We're also doing outreach in all of the regions to solicit input for a strategic plan, as well as running an interactive brainstorming, cross-community brainstorming session tomorrow in the ballroom immediately following Fadi's opening remarks. So this process of soliciting sort of targeted community input, if you will, on the key topic areas runs from now, let me see, let me get my dates here. And there's a, if you'd like to send that slide around, it's also online, but the we have an illustrated timeline that goes through these steps. So now through early September, we're seeking community input for the proposed 5-year strategic plan. Then in early October, October 7th is our target date. We plan on publishing a proposed or draft strategic plan for public comment. That public comment period is expected to run from October 7th through November 25th. We'll also be having an open discussion at the Buenos Aires meeting as sort of a final opportunity for input to the proposed strategic plan. Again, these public comments and community input will be synthesized, and the plan will be finalized and provided at the end of the year to the board for consideration and a final vote. And as Xavier may have mentioned, the operating plan, the strategic plan, of course, will lay the foundation for and inform the development of the operating plan. So that's the basic process.
I never know which one to use.
Sure. You can have this. I can talk while you're keeping in mind. So.
Beginning alive.
So input on the 8 key topics that are online that will be featured in tomorrow's strategic planning exercise will be particularly useful to receive from the CCNSO. And then, of course, your substantive comments on the draft plan that will be posted in early October and open for comment and discussion on that proposal also will be a key point of contribution. Again, this is also online. It gives you a sense of the timeline for the development of the strategic plan. This might be a good place to stop and answer questions.
Okay. Who has any questions?
Oscar.
Thank you. Denise, when you arrived, we were talking about the lack of metrics in the current process. So we'll be expecting some metrics definition at the strategic level in this process, in this new planning process?
I'm sorry, that's a good question. So the and I think this is a great group to get some guidance on that point, because the intention and the previous input that we've gotten, particularly from the CCNSO, has been that so the previous strategic plans have been more like an operating plan, a collection of the programs and projects, if you will, more than a visionary high-level sort of guidance for the organization. And so our intention with this strategic plan is to keep it at a high level and make it a overriding sort of guiding plan that informs the development of the new operating plan. So I would think that the operating plan would actually contain the specific metrics that can be used to sort of track ICANN's progress. But I'd be interested in the input that you have. In thinking about the high level we want to maintain with this strategic plan, I don't know that addressing metrics in the strategic plan is the right place to do it. I think we will certainly build in some language that sort of reinforces our commitment to have measurable objectives and results in the strategic plan, but I don't know how much detail would be appropriate to go into. What are your thoughts?
Denise, thanks for coming, and that was most informative. I have a very naive question. I mean, to get back home to better orient Russians, if you could just formulate the strategy in one simple, the ICANN strategy in one simple phrase, what that phrase would be?
I don't have one. If you're asking for one sentence that encapsulates ICANN's strategic, well, the process we're going through right now is to actually build a strategic, a vision and strategic plan. So I don't have a sentence at this point. That's what you're asking me. And that'd be
Right. So, my understanding is that we've been following some weird logic. I mean, Xavier was all the time with us, and we discussed that budget, and there were absolutely correct from my perspective observations that we're talking. Budget, I mean, multi-million, multi-year budget, without some clear guidance as to where it would get us. And in this regard, I mean, my concern is that, some strategic process, any strategic process, would probably imply, first of all, some review of the previous, of the past experiences, which was done. Yes, I understand. Then some challenges, which Fadi identified already, some solutions, and also some consequences. So I was wondering, we don't have that ultimate goal, but we do already have some experiences down the road which might be reviewed in the interim. And I was just wondering, what is your take on, that Istanbul case, for example? So it was announced that there would be a hub in Istanbul, and that would serve for that region, very vast region, as a center for probably expertise, excellence, and whatever, knowledge and technical aid. Now, Istanbul is in trouble, I mean, the city itself. So ISOC has just canceled their ceremony there. Everybody knows that there are new clashes. Was there any plan B in such a situation, or would there be any plan B for such a thing? Because there might be some other turbulences of a global scale for the ICANN. Because my understanding, and we talked about that with Xavier, I mean, in person and over email, is that my sense is that ICANN tends to concoct or come up with some strategy, not formulated as yet, in some airless, ideal environment where no turmoils, no, you know, social, whatever, economic, and some other things happen around. I understand that, well, in budget there are some contingencies, but are there any precautions? Have they been made for that strategic planning?
Well, that question encapsulates a number of issues. I can touch on a few points that are relevant and then perhaps turn it over to Xavier, who I think at the more programmatic and risk level can address the specifics of Istanbul. So the risks and fallback plans for an Istanbul office isn't something that would specifically be addressed in a strategic plan, which we're trying to keep at a much higher level. I can tell you that the strategic plan will be looking at the regional plans that have been developed thus far in the various regions and incorporate them appropriately in this new strategic plan, as well as consider the global engagement strategies that have been developed. So those will certainly be reflected in the strategic plan. We also have a board risk committee that addresses issues such as you're raising with Istanbul. So those are being addressed through that. And then, I think I've addressed the issues that relate to the strategic plan, and Xavier can answer more specific.
The couple comments I wanted to add is as it relates to the risk part of the comment that you made, Leonid. We are creating, actually last week it was created, an enterprise risk management function, which role is, like for any of those functions in any company, to be able to assess, manage, and mitigate risks across the organization. And any risk, right? It's not just financial, it's any risk. So that function has been created to give substance to a comprehensive risk assessment and support it as part of the strategic planning process as well, right, which is what any ERM process should be able to address. So I think that's a portion of answer to your question. I don't want to be too facetious in addressing Istanbul, but if you know a place that will not have any issues, whether tectonic, social, demographic, or economic, or military, in the next 10 years, you tell us. Part of the, I think, the subject is distributing over more than one headquarter the organization is actually a risk mitigation strategy. Now, the circumstances of the past 2 weeks may make Istanbul look like the wrong place to go, but I think we are trying to look at it from a more strategic standpoint than tactical.
Yeah. First, I want to give the floor to Leslie, and I think then to you, and then to you, Sally.
Okay, so I apologize. I have a 4:30 meeting, so this is not me commenting and then walking out in a huff. So I have a clash that I need to go to. I was just going to make two brief points. So the original question a while ago was about metrics. You quite rightly said, you know, many of those you'd expect to see in the operating plan. I guess my response to that would be it depends on what the strategy is. So one of the eight areas is about domain name industry engagement. And if, for example, the goal was to increase that, which I assume it's not to reduce it, if the goal is to increase that, then you might say, we would like to double it, we would like to increase the number of participants by 25%, or we would like to increase the diversity, for example. So you might well have the opportunity to put some metrics in there. The other point I was going to make is about what a strategic plan is and what it isn't. And I have the benefit of spending some good time at Ashridge Business School recently to kind of remind me about that. And I just wonder that given that the previous versions of the strategic plan have been very operational, there may actually be a need to manage expectations about what this business, this strategic plan is going to be and what the operating plan will be as well. Because I think because this has kind of been a variable feast over the years, there's some work to be done there in managing expectations, but also giving greater clarity as to what it is and what it's not going to be. And I would recommend that.
Thank you. That's really useful. Yes, we and your point on the metrics is also very useful. We so when we started the conversation in April, we actually explicitly said, and if you recall the website there, we explicitly said that, you know, our current strategic plan is really more like an operating plan with a collection of programs, and what we're expecting to develop is a very high level aspirational vision and plan, you know, around 8 pages, you know, at the most, to try and give people a mindset. And I think it's great advice, and we'll continue to, I think, be more specific and descriptive of what we're trying to achieve.
As part of this definition, sorry, I just want to make a quick additional comment. I think we're going to have clarifications on the vocabulary as well, right? Because we're talking strategic plan today and yesterday. I think the level of what these two plans intend to address are different. If the strategic plan that we're looking for ahead of us is higher level, then is the operating plan becoming a multi-year operating plan, which it has never been so far, right? So I think then at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we call what, as long as it's clear one, and then that all the levels of granularity of the information are represented somewhere in the planning process, whether it's strategic, operating, or budgeting. So what Denise and I are trying to make sure we do is connect the dots on the tail end of the strategic planning process so that we have right immediately there the starting of whatever process, whether operating plan process or budget process or whatever you want to call it, but that will start from there so that we don't miss what we are missing today, in my views, which is everything in the middle. We have the high-level strategy, we have the budget, but we don't have the actual multi-year plan with objectives and metrics to be able to demonstrate and to ensure that we monitor the progresses against that.
Okay, thank you, Xavier. Giovanni.
Thank you, and thank you, Denise and Xavier. My question is if there is a plan behind this plan, and it's catching up on what we just talked about, in the sense that I've been involved in the ICANN strategic and operating plan at different levels from different perspectives since 2005, and my wish, and at the same time as a concern, is to see again the start of a process that in 18 months' time or 1 year time or even earlier is going to be changed again. And to me, it's quite a fear, and I understand the big pressure you are, and I think that the job you have ahead of you is really enormous, because distinguishing between what people have been given so far, that is a mix between strategy and operating, is really, really difficult stuff. And also, as Leslie was saying, it's balancing expectation, because when you submit something that is in between strategic and operating, people expect the same for the future, but then you like to move to at the upper level. So my question is if there is, a plan to make the process of drafting and submitting to the community and then have it approved by the board and then all the next steps, a strategy and operating plan, if there is a planning process to make this happen regularly for the next 3 to 5 years and possibly even longer time frame, and what are the challenges that you might face, and what is the support that we might provide you? Because just to be very practical, in the past 3-4 years, we have been given different kind of documents, different kind of presentations and we were asked to submit input. But then it's very difficult because at certain point you're given something extremely detailed, at another point they're given some just one sentence and say provide input on one sentence. It's like, you know, it's tougher. It's not, and then you must be really visionary to provide input on just a couple of sentences. So again, my wish and my concern at the same time is also a question if there is a plan behind this approach. Thank you.
So we also have a slide that we'll share with you that maps out our expected process timeline over the next 5 years of how we're connecting the strategic plan and the operating plan and budget. So Xavier and I will work to get that to you as well. Our hope as well is for certainty over the years. I appreciate that we're using a different approach this year with a new CEO, and we also hope for stability, uniformity, and a greater amount of predictability from year to year with the community. But I take your comments to heart, and we'll take care to articulate more precisely what you can expect over a longer term as we connect the strategic plan with the operating plan and budget.
Sabine first? Okay.
Yes, Sabine here. I'm a little bit puzzled because a lot of what I see in the newly in the strategic plan process, as you put it forward, is very much about how to. There are a lot of questions in there, how to expand ICANN's mission on the long run, and maybe that could not be framed as a strategic process, but should be something different, because I think there is at least currently an understanding what ICANN's role is about, and a lot of what I read in the proposals when it came to role clarity, that's to say, it's not the role clarity, it's very much about expansion of the role, so actually heading to new like go further outreach and do other things than currently agreed. So my question actually would be, what is the idea how actually this process can become legitimate in a way that to the stakeholders in like, of course, now we want to outreach. If I look on the website, you have now role clarity for ICANN, and you see the nice comic, and see when I would follow the comic, I would say coordinating the unique identifier system of the internet. Nothing mentioned about that at all, but it's security, coordination, commerce, public interest, users, and policy, which is completely different than what I foresee ICANN was founded and what ICANN was actually set up, and which is actually also buried in the bylaws of ICANN. So do you foresee any process, what will actually happening when actually we followed all your process and there is the outcome is, okay, ICANN is doing more in security and also is now responsible for the flight slots in the world and for the empowerment of marketplaces in South Asia. And when the board actually decides upon that, is how is the legitimacy of the process? Because it's very much about a much more of the bullet points that is really broadening and widening ICANN scope. Is that in the mandate of the board to decide on first? Second, is that part of a strategic process, or is that part of a review of the organization and their mission and goals, and shouldn't we name it as something else, not strategic plan, how to fulfill the strategic steps for fulfilling our mission, but not expanding our mission? That could be, for me, a completely different process. And maybe that should also be differentiated in the publishing.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really helpful comment. So the eight topic areas and the questions that are included in the topic areas are pulled from the broad community input, some conversations that we've received thus far. They're not in any way intended to indicate that that's an issue or any kind of decision that will be in the strategic plan. Rather, they are topic areas for which the board in, that the community has raised and that the board in particular wants further conversation and input on. So these were drawn from the input we've in the conversations we've had thus far with the community. They are not to be taken as in any way as decisions, but rather areas where more conversation is and input is certainly needed. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And so the sort of inflection point for, and also they're not comprehensive. So if you don't see, you know, addressing and numbering on the slide that addresses ICANN's role, it's the, again, the questions raised there are intended to reflect some input and questions and suggestions that we've received thus far and to raise the questions and to help advance the conversation. But the inflection point for community input on what should be, what is actually in the strategic plan, as I noted, will be the input on these topics and any other topics that you feel input you feel is warranted to be considered to for the development of the strategic plan, and then the draft strategic plan will be posted in early October, will be also another important inflection point and another point of input for the community. Does that answer your question? So what have I missed?
For me, it's just the question where the accountability. So currently the ICANN board has the sort of a clear mission and is accountable to that mission, to fulfill that mission. And for me there is a lack of understanding how actually a board with a clear mission and accountable to that mission is able to evolve the mission to wherever they want to go to.
I see your question. So I don't think that's the point, Sabine. And if the community input we receive and the decision of the board was that we needed to, as a community and an organization, revisit the mission and core values that are in ICANN's bylaws, then that would start a new and separate process that would very much involve the community in a consideration of whether ICANN's bylaws should be amended. That's a very prescribed, very community-intensive process. So I think that should be kept in mind as well. There's the strategic planning process that is incorporating a number of ideas and conversations and input that we've gotten from the community thus far. It shouldn't be taken as in any way as short-circuiting a very specific process that would be used if and when the board felt that ICANN's mission should be in any way reconsidered. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Thank you, Sabine, for being so considerate. Carlos. And then Debbie.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to find out the thinking behind the planning process with respect to the regional diversity that is being brought into the system. So far, a number of regional strategies are being considered, and the one in Africa is complete, but we are at various stages for the other regions. What is the thinking in the process on how these will be integrated and what stages?
And so, you know, we're very much looking at the regions that have completed sort of regional plans to look at appropriate ways of incorporating that in the new strategic plan. We're also using the regional staff at ICANN to conduct additional engagement and to develop input from all of the regions to factor into this strategic plan. So fundamentally, we're using that approach to make sure that we capture regional needs and input for this strategic plan.
We expect all the regional plans to be in place by October?
You know, I'd have to check with Tarek and Sally on that. I'd be happy to get back to you on the schedule that they're targeting.
Is that okay with you, Carlos?
Yeah. Okay, Debbie.
I suppose I just want to pick up on what Leslie started and some of the concerns that Sabina...
Debbie, maybe you can just tell who you are.
Oh, sorry, debbiemonaghan.nz. I think Leslie started off by talking about, you know, we keep asking for accountabilities and for metrics and other such things, and Sabina's just said, well, how does some of that actually all fit together and how is it consistent? And I actually think the two are mixed, because what's missing is what ICANN is seeking to achieve by actually having those particular things as their strategic goal. So we want to do this in order to, or by to enhance that, not the specifics of going right down into the detail, because I agree with David on that, that's actually the operating plan. But there's no real target as to what exactly ICANN's vision is in respect of these things. So when you go through and you read it, why are you justifying doing this? Because it's not clear what you're seeking to achieve. And so then it's very hard to turn around and say, well, how are you going to measure success when you actually haven't said why it is you're actually doing it? And I think that those very high level, in order to achieve blah, is actually one of the key things that's actually missing from the current strategic plan.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I agree.
Yeah, I very much agree. And I think that's even something we commented to Tom in earlier plans, because I think formally in your previous plans, ICANN's mission is one world, one internet, which sounds like a nice payoff, but doesn't really say anything about ICANN's role in that, especially in the one world bit. I don't know what ICANN can do there. So that's a very valid point, and I think it should be addressed in this
okay.
process.
Yes. Oh, I have a simple question. ICANN has ICANN has developed a couple of regional strategies, such as our friends said, one in Africa, another one in Latin America. The CEO said at last meeting in Beijing that there will be an Asian strategy after appointment of the new VP in Singapore office.
Right.
So my simple question is that if ICANN going to develop regional strategies for all five regions, including Europe and North America? And are you going to set up more regional operational hubs and engagement centers? And there's one in Beijing. I don't know how they're operating. Oh, well, it's very much elusive to locals.
There's definitely plans to develop more regional engagement plans. And I'd be happy to get the latest from Sally and Tarek and provide you with more information on that. And I don't know if Debbie, you have anything else to add on offices or hubs?
No more hubs, right, than LA, Istanbul, Singapore. So those are three hubs covering all the time zones, right? They're more designed to cover time zones rather than regions. I don't know if that was clear in the past. But engagement offices, as Denise said, there's plan for more, and I think that's also something that needs to be the result of a strategic formulation of why we think we should have engagement offices in different places. And I believe that there's a number of plans by the... I know Nigel Hickson is working on developing a European strategy as well. But I don't know yet what this exercise will entail in terms of resources and so on. But each of the regions should have their own strategy, irrespective of how extensive the work that it takes to do it is.
Okay. Denise, thank you for being so patient with us. When you entered and said it's always a pleasure to be with this group, I thought, oh dear, I hope that she still feels that way towards the end of this meeting.
Of course, thank you.
I know that we're putting quite a bit of pressure on you, and I just hope that you trust that this is out of a sense of shared responsibility and not just to give you a hard time.
No, I absolutely do. I look forward to this group.
If you allow me my personal comments, one of the, and it's, this is about the process, one of the things that I find really difficult is, and I think also Giovanni touched upon that, is the plan behind the plan. The approach that you've chosen, asking very open, very wide questions. The whole process started off in April with these questions on the MyICANN website. I know that we filed our answers. I don't know, I've been on holiday, so maybe I've missed it, but I don't know if there's been any feedback on that to the community, but now we have a new range of questions. I just went through the website and I saw that quite of them still have zero comments. I think you're asking quite a lot from the community. And in my personal opinion, I would find it much stronger if ICANN came up with a clear vision and then use community input on that vision and enhance that vision. But just all these open questions give the impression that this multi-million, 200-plus full-time equivalent organization doesn't have a clue about what it's doing. Well, no, it knows what it's doing, but why is it doing it? It's asking the community, why are we doing what we're doing? And I don't think that's, in my opinion, that's not a very strong approach. So can you elaborate a bit more on why you choose this approach? I understand a bit of getting community input, and
sure.
I applaud you for that. I think it's very important.
Sure.
And I can see that you're very focused on that. But maybe this is a bit too much of just tell us what we should do approach.
Yeah. So, we did get the CCNSO input as well as a lot of other input from a number of different community groups and individuals across the organizations. And those are posted and were used to inform the direction the board decided to go in creating a framework for a more formal community conversation on strategic planning. I think the board felt that because of, I think, the pace of growth and the challenges for ICANN and a range of factors, that it was the right time to, and also because of the vastly different perspectives and priorities that we see in so many different communities within ICANN. What is role expansion for Sabine is, we told you to do this 10 years ago, why aren't you from another group? And so part of this, I think, is the board really challenging the community to, well, the board embracing some very broad ideas that and input that the community has given them and sort of reflecting back some key areas that the board would like the community, sort of the cross-community conversations to occur in and to get some deeper comments and input. And sort of surface some of these challenging requests and input that the board's getting from the different communities and try and incentivize a cross-community conversation on some of the more challenging areas that the board's facing. So the board specifically chose this approach of having an open sort of framework for community conversation at this point before it narrowed down into a proposed clear vision statement and a proposed strategic plan, which will be a very concrete document for the community to comment on. And it's
so that's the, you know, the reason that the board chose this particular approach and the questions that you have posted. But you'll get a much more traditional vision statement and proposed strategic plan to comment on in early October.
Just for the record, this is Rudolf Meyer, Chair. Denise, I understand what you're saying, but you're just painting the two extremes, the open questions and the concrete plan, and there's something in the middle. Isn't there at this time something like a half product that you could share with the community so that we at least get a bit of a view of what is being done with the input we've already provided, what the board thinks about it, what the vision of the board is?
So the so what we did with it is synthesized it. The board, you know, considered it, spent several days with the input, and the product and takeaway from that was to focus the community's conversation on the sort of eight topical areas. And at this point, that's as concrete as it gets. And the board also, you know, was very, you know, wanted very much to support a bottom-up conversation on this as well, and not to close down or go to a specific decision or statement at this point in the process. So we don't have anything more specific or definitive for you other than the board really seeking much more in-depth input from the community. And more consideration in these eight topical areas, and then we'll have a very concrete document for you to react to in early October. And as I said, Xavier and I will follow up and give you a much more long-term plan so you can see over the next 5 years how we plan on addressing the strategic plan and the operating plan and budget.
Thank you. That's clear, at least. Any other questions?
Well, you have my email address if you think of any after I leave, and I'll follow up on the information that you have.
Yeah, we will definitely know how to get hold of you. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the guy's on the phone.
Are you still there?
Yes, still here.
Okay.
But no additional questions. Thank you, Rob.
Okay, then special thanks to Denise and Xavier for spending so much time with us and taking all those difficult questions with patience and understanding. Thank you very much for that. And
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you, too,
thank you.
Being with us through telecommunications. And, well, you'll hear from us. Bye-bye.